The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that absolutely loves Tic Tacs, the New York Times, and a number of other items sold at a Circle K. This is Hysteria 51.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
That's right.
Appropriate.
It is. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, and we are your hosts and head ufologist / I don't know, keyboard cowboys. I'm John Goforth, and this is Brent Hand.
It's true. It's a steel horse that I ride, John. I don't know if you know that or not.
Oh boy.
But I will tell you this though, just being honest. I hate to say it, but I did enjoy that clip from CBOT there. Rather pertinent, like I said, though, not per se the whole UFOs that we're going to be talking about this week, but Bill and Ted is blasting back into our lives.
That is right. Barring any further delays / date changes / Mulan release announcements, yeah, that actually impacted it too. Bill and Ted Face the Music, also known as Bill and Ted 3, comes out later this month, August 2020.
Come on, you can't be surprised I played that.
It's overdue, so I guess not. I'm not. Considering Joe Peck might be dead, I haven't heard from him in a while.
It's true.
4 score and cheese muffins ago, I gave Conspiracy Bot a most excellent credit card number.
Shut up, you waste of silicon. Pay no attention to him. His wiring is faulty.
You wired him.
And while we're on the subject, what credit card is he talking about? I specifically had a new card sent after your last order of 539 bear traps, John.
Oh, wow. I take it the new card was sent just to you and he didn't get a copy this time?
Yeah. Turns out they work on cats too. And meat sacks. But I bought them for cats. And meat sacks.
CBOT gives love a bad name. CBOT gives love a bad name. Name on the credit card is as follows: Brent Wade Hand. Social security number.
Enough! Out of both of them. And I will have you know, I don't think they know my social security number, but I don't know. I don't even know if I know it up top.
I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't put it past them. He's got enough access around your
house.
Well,
that is a joke, because when we were in college, they still used that for your ID number. It was printed on everything. Here's your social. Thanks. Can you put that on the back of my t-shirt?
Hey, can I get 2 slices and a Coke? Sure. What's your social? We'll call it out when it's ready.
Literally. Hey, who here social is?
And by the way, dear listener, in case you are new to the show or normally fast forward through this part, either way, the original robot voice you heard is the show's third host and resident drunk cat killer. His name is Conspiracy Bot. The higher pitched yet equally as annoying voice is his robot sidekick, Kyle. They might be ugly, but at least they ain't got no money.
Wow, that's an ICP reference. Good on you, Jeff.
It is. I was throwing it back to the Shaggy. What was that? The Shaggy...
Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J?
No, I think that the name of the song was the Shaggy... Oh, I'm
you're
spacing
like
on
you don't
it.
Have this tattooed on your fucking thigh.
Hey, let's give credit where it is due. If there is an ICP fan amongst the two of us, that honor would certainly go to you over me.
I did listen to them in college a little bit. I thought they were like just a joke act, you know. And my roommate at the time, your roommate also was listening to them. We were laughing, and then people got really into them. And were like, oh no, I thought this was like a goof. Nah, man, it's a way of life.
It's
I made a mistake.
We actually talked about this a couple weeks ago. How one of them came out and actually said, "You know, man, we said some fucked up shit back then, and we're kind of sorry." There's no putting a bow on this turd. We were wrong, and we shouldn't have said those things.
Yeah, who would have thought? Well, I like to use my moral compass under a pound and a half of clown makeup. I just find that it, you know, and that's what probably why that we named the, we didn't, but C-Bot named his sidekick Kyle because of, well, I guess that's a monster and not Fago, so I'm going down the wrong path there.
You are. But
I totally
okay.
went on a tangent that didn't matter. But anyway, let's get back to the matter at hand. They have been spending a lot of my money, and not just on, you know, keeping them charged up. We've tried just about everything to make these guys better. Maybe we should just ship them to an alternate reality. Is that available yet? Can we do that yet? Is DHL still?
I gotta tell you, I've heard worse ideas. I don't want to unleash a robot plague on an unsuspecting world.
God knows I
pussy.
But riddle me this. What if we open a portal for another Earth and see how their robots were improved? So in other words, we go find the Kyle and C-Bot in another Earth.
I bet they have goatees.
They probably do. But like, see if they were able to make improvements where we've been unsuccessful.
Can't improve perfection, but I'm down to go ruin some lives on Earth too. Or better yet, let's go to Earth 69.
Shut up,
C-Bot.
69, dude. But that actually has some interesting possibilities. Let me tinker around a bit with this electromagnetic field disruptor I've been working on, because that's just something I do in my time. And I'll see what I can do. You know, maybe we can make something happen.
You spend your time switching back and forth between electromagnetic field disruptors and old classic video games.
Well, one does need hobbies, and if you have more than one, it's fulfilling.
One can improve the entirety of humanity. The other one's an electronic field disruptor.
I find that it's best to have your name on every list the government has. Let me cross-check and yep, he's here.
Brent, as you work on that in the background, we have a show to do.
We do.
And it is, for the first time in what seems like forever, just us tonight.
Yeah.
No guests. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Are you gonna say that we're making castles in the sky, John? Because I'm ready.
Well, no,
ready.
I stopped because if I said anything more, I'd have to put a quarter in the computer to keep singing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It would have flagged it as the actual album version with you singing. It would have been terrible.
Well, could you tell the difference?
I was trying. I was really trying.
It is just the two of us, and we are going to talk UFOs in 2020.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Man, we've been talking UFOs for 4 years now. And it is funny to me. I want to throw this out there. It's always funny to see who doesn't listen to the show but comments, because they're like, holy shit, have you guys read this stuff? We're like, we've literally done three episodes on this in the last 6 months.
So you guys ever heard this about this guy named Bob Lazar?
It's crazy.
But for the uninitiated, 2020 so far has been the year of the UFO.
Actually, I think I would, you need to, 2020 has been the year of, oh my fucking God, what's next? UFO just happens to be.
I'm trying to put
there.
A positive spin on this thing, man. But you're right. It's not really the year of the UFO. Obviously, there have been sightings forever. And even the recent articles from like the New York Times are actually referencing events from the past two decades. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's finally getting to be a bit more mainstream.
Yeah, very
New York
much
Times
is,
articles,
yeah.
Videos released by the government, punk rock legends who know the truth. Well, the first two, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Joking aside, though, for those that believe there is something to be disclosed, and disclosure can mean a lot of things. We'll probably touch on that a little bit. But
and whatever that something is,
Yeah, it does seem like we're moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And especially some ground has been made up this year. And unfortunately, or fortunately, or however you want to call it, with the year the way it's been, a lot of that has been by the wayside or gone by the wayside. Or as a collective, when this stuff comes out in mainstream media, we found that the public at large, a lot of times, just doesn't really care. And that is,
well, I also think that's fueled by, like you know, they always talk about in politics the Friday night news dump, or the Christmas vacation news dump. Like Friday before Christmas, they just throw out a bunch of crap and nobody notices because they're doing other things.
And we lost $76 trillion. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Was there a bomb overseas today? What just happened?
Pretty much everything that you talk about that is in the news in 2020 is the Friday night news dump. I mean, because all we're focused on are much bigger and ostensibly more important things, you know, like people dying.
Well, I mean, I will fucking die before I... Never mind. I was going to make a joke about masks, but...
You know what? That's a safe space here, I think. I think that anyone listening to our show at this point after 4 years probably knows that we're going to err on the side of wearing a fucking mask.
Mask it or casket, go forth. No, seriously, you need to choose right now.
I'll go with the mask, C-Bot. Thanks, though.
Damn it.
Did he really think I was going to, like, go the other direction?
Cake or death, like the old... Eddie Izzard joke. Yeah, yeah. I think I'll go with the cake. Oh, didn't we have such a run on cake? Yeah, but it really is. Getting back to it, though, it's been an interesting year, and it's been an interesting few years. It's not just 2020. In 2017, the New York Times has kind of been the mainstream outlet that will talk about these things. And in 2017, they told us about ATIP, A-A-T-I-P, and a name that you've heard here and on the news. Old Luis Elizondo and the infamous $22 million that they had funded, a minimum of $22 million.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're not familiar, just to quickly recap, there was a program inside of the Defense Department called ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program.
Woo! It's a mouthful.
I prefer ATIP as well.
I bet you do.
Anyway,
but don't stop there, Raul.
No, just to see how it feels.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it was a program inside of the Defense Department that was funded somewhat secretly, and the number that got splashed all over the headlines was $22 million.
Which is a drop in the bucket when you think about it.
Yeah, roughly the Pentagon's pencil budget.
I was
going to
say, that's like six hammers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not even a good one.
But it was revolutionary because... It was the government admitting they're currently looking at these things.
But even more importantly, though, I think, like, talking on about that, last year the U.S. Navy confirmed that three separate videos, and we'd already seen these videos, they'd already been leaked, but the Pentagon and the Navy actually confirmed that these videos were in fact UAPs, or unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Something like phenomenon.
Yeah, now we're putting an asterisk on that because unidentified, as in it could be Russian MiGs, or it could be Canadian geese with cloaking devices that we haven't seen them working on. For all we know, we just don't know. In other words, they aren't necessarily saying aliens, which everyone jumps to. They just don't know what it is. And so it's an unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Right. And we always like to point that out because it doesn't necessarily mean aliens. Though I do, you know, it is probably worth saying that by unidentified, it also implies that they couldn't identify it. So if it was a goose or a Russian MiG, you would guess that they'd be able to identify that after, you know, after some close analysis. So it does imply there's something more to it, not necessarily extraterrestrial, but something more to it.
Yeah, and everyone's always working on things. We're working on things. We've said this 1,000 times on this show. You know, the jets and the planes and stuff that we see are old compared to what they're actually working on. So there is always a chance that it's just something that they're not familiar with. Look at back when they were working on the Blackbird, and they were so secretive and trying to figure out, and you know, they knew that the Russians knew they were working on something, but had no fucking clue what it was. So there's always a chance that it's aliens, and there's always a chance that it's not.
Look at the plane the X-Men had in like the 60s and 70s. Da-da-da,
dun-dun, da-da-da-da, dun-dun. Remember the 90s, the song?
Oh, the X-Men cartoon. Yeah. Wait, I just read somewhere it's like back on streaming. Is it on Disney Plus? Maybe
I don't know.
Well, that makes sense because it's Marvel.
Yeah, so I would assume so. It's a great show. If you guys haven't watched it, go watch it. And the acting on it was really good. Or the stories were really good. I'm not gonna say the acting, the voice acting wasn't that terrific, but the stories were good.
I was always super annoyed with Jubilee.
Yeah, and I'll shoot sparks at him. Oh no! Like,
why are you here? Giant yellow jacket
and my glasses that were given to me by Brett the Hitman Hart. Oh, rest in peace.
Storm's just looking at her, shaking her head.
Yeah, like, and she's
bitch. You want sparks?
Winds of the North, freeze this dumb bitch. Because that's how in the show she never just like blasted her powers. She'd be like, cooling breeze of the North. You know, it's like, really? You have to like, you got to call it out.
It's like when you look up a recipe on the internet and they give you five pages about how Grandma Franny used to make this in her kitchen in the
17th. Like, how do you make goulash? I was born on a Saturday in an area that is now known as Dollywood. It's like, oh my god, like what is going on here?
And it has a lot of tarragon in it, and boy does tarragon remind me of the farmhouse. That like, shut the fuck up and give me the ingredients.
His hands of leather turned to lace that night. Jesus Christ, I just want to make malt meal. Like,
this recipe took a turn.
Pepperidge Farm, speaking
of recipes, Brent, A-Tip was a recipe for Disclosure.
Oh shit. Someone's been eating their Wheaties, yes. Not Malt-O-Meal. Yeah, and so talking about this Disclosure, you know, cue another New York Times article because that's where it's got to go.
That's right. And this one is this year in the Friday night news dump known as 2020. Mm-hmm. This article had been rumored for a while. Brent, you actually were talking about this article coming.
It's funny. Every group you're in was, now don't let anyone else know this, but, and then the article's coming and they're talking about the article. Don't tell anyone. You're on the inside. You know this. And they're talking about how the Pentagon, this is it. They're going to come out and say that they've got them and this is full disclosure and it's going to shock the world. And then it comes out and the more shocking that we're going to find out is just people misquoting it or not understand what they're reading.
Well, my favorite is the, hey, shh. Don't tell anybody, but I have it on source. This article is coming. Really? What's your source? Have you been to this website?
Right. Everyone. It was so funny. Like, it was the worst kept secret in ufology.
There's entire subreddits on it, but no, it's a secret.
You and Chris Cogswell and I did a whole episode on what they had said might be in it before it ever came out.
That's true, though. So yeah, that was the one. That was the big difference, though. The big rumor was that it was going to be on the Wilson Davis papers, which we did the episode on, and that was not what the article was about. Though the New York Times article does mention Davis.
Now let me say this real quick because I want to get this off for the first part, and I know we're talking about what is in there and what isn't in there, and I think it is a very good step in the right direction that these things are coming out. I just want to, and I think we're using this episode to cut through a little bit of the nonsense you're going to hear to say what it actually did say and didn't say so that we know where we're at. Because a lot of the things that you're reading or people say weren't actually said or can't be substantiated. That doesn't mean that they don't have recovered things or materials isn't that, but you cannot go off of someone's word, whether you really believe them or not, unless there is facts and proof to back it up.
Well, you can go on circumstantial evidence, and it's just a question whether somebody wants to believe it or not. You know?
I guess that's are there big enough thing. Yes.
Are there enough corroborated sources? What has been so fascinating to me, I've continued to think of myself as a bit of an outsider when it comes to the ufology world. And what has been fascinating to me is like the ufology world, it's like eating their own young. Like Why are the UFO enthusiasts of the world so quick to tear apart, rip apart, and dismiss this New York Times article? It's been fascinating to me. I mean, of course there are things that you can pull apart, Brent. Like you said, there are certain things in there that you can't corroborate with, like, no, here's a piece of a ship. But you also, that's true of every story in the history of all ufology.
So I think there's two sides. There are a lot of people that do believe in what it said and what they're getting at. And there's a lot of people also that go, it's more of the same by more of the same people, and I just don't trust them. The other thing, and we've talked about this a lot, is you've got these people that are old time, long time ingrained, and they're very angry at the world of ufology.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't even want to go down that road because, you know, we don't know one way or the other. It's not for us to decide on that. And I'm happy to have more come out so we can learn more. But yeah, ruffle some feathers no matter what you say. Just like anything, we could be doing an episode on an article that came out on stenciling, and I'm sure there would be cursing and screaming from one side or the other. Stenciling,
mostly from C-Bot.
Stenciling, that's true.
I can't argue with that.
Oh, it's like I'm going to butcher this, but I'm sure you all know Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp were recently on Joe Rogan. And George Knapp
they were on what?
Oh, it's a tiny little podcast. It's gaining some steam. You might want to pay attention to it in a year or two.
Oh, he's the guy from News Radio.
Fear Factor.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He made people eat tarantulas. It was weird. Anyway, it was the early 2000s. If you're younger, we did weird shit back then. I'm sorry. Okay. We ate, and it went on primetime TV anyway. There was a writer's strike. Okay. So here's the point. The point is that George Knapp said when he was talking to, you know, a higher official, he didn't name names, but this also isn't exactly groundbreaking what I'm about to say. He said, I asked him, do you participate in a lot of disinformation or feel the need to at least try to cover your tracks in the UFO world, maybe throw something out there that's a red herring a bit, you know? And the guy's like, no, the UFO experts out there do plenty of that for us. Right. They cannibalize themselves before we don't have to do a thing.
We sit back and we go, I read an article today, and then they release it. An article was released claiming life on Venus. And they, God damn, that was quick. Like, yeah, you got to understand that stuff is probably, if you're in the know, you know, when people tell stories about you, you're like, that didn't happen. Where does this come from? You know, it's the same thing, but on a larger scale. It's the same difference.
It's so true. It's like, think about whatever job you work at. Like, if you're a trash man. And...
No, you're a fucking piece of shit. Oh, oh, wait. Okay, keep going.
I think he's not tracking our conversation, dear listener. You're a garbage man, and you're sitting at dinner, and you and a bunch of people who don't work in your industry are talking about how they heard that at least 5 dead bodies are disposed of a year via the garbage trucks or something. I don't know. I'm just making it up. And you're just sitting there laughing because you know the truth that it's more like 10. But the point being,
I saw men at work. I know how it goes.
Everyone knows a lot more about their industry, and they always laugh at the rumors they hear about their industry.
That's always period.
Brent, going back to the article, yeah. One cool quote from it. Let me bring it up here. The report said the program, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, was, quote, to standardize collection and reporting, unquote, on sightings and unexplained aerial vehicles, and was to report at least some of its findings to the public within 180 days after passage of the Intelligence Authorization Act. So, kids, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and wait for this release. Kind of like the, remember we were waiting for the JFK papers? Yep.
And that, old Trumpy Trump said, I'm going to release them. Then he goes, you know what? I'm going to have to look over these again because someone over him said, no, you're not. And he goes, this is huge. No, but seriously, though,
someone with majestic level clearance told him to shut it down.
It was a majestic conversation. He should, if I was him, I would throw things in like that just to fuck with people. Oh, it was a majestic, majestic conversation.
Well, the sad part is I think he thinks he's doing that.
Maybe he is. Who knows? But literally, though, that is funny. And the other thing is, and they said in this, the report said that, you know, part of this task force, and people go, it exists. And it's great that they came out, but I never for once thought that this didn't exist. I was just kind of amused by how much they said it didn't exist. Like, well, Project Blue Book is over with. We don't do this anymore. Horseshit. If I'm paying my taxes, you better know what's flying in the skies. And if
That's
just
right.
because someone says that they saw something, you don't believe them, I still want you to look into it because that's what fucking policing of whatever, how it works. And that's what they should be doing.
We said that, Brent, I don't know if you said it, I said it, probably both said it at some point, you know, when we've talked in the past about ATIP, like, yeah, it really went away. They're just not looking anymore,
right.
Of course. And what this article is doing is bringing to the forefront that anyone who said that was in fact correct,
right.
That it didn't go away, it was renamed and then, you know, dumped into the Navy's lap.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, Brent, there's a lot more to unpack here. The videos that we talked about, the Tic Tac, David Fravor, all that, the New York Times articles, other sources from around the web, and even Bob Lazar.
Ooh.
Well, sort of.
Ooh.
We'll get to that next on Hysteria 51.
Bob Lazar.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar.
That is a fucking earworm. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're going to have it in your head all day long, and you can thank Hysteria 51.
That's right. So, John, we are back. We're talking about stuff we don't really understand, which is the the meat and potatoes of this show.
Speak for yourself. I am just surprised they were interested in me flying that day.
Well, they got some video of it.
And C-Bot, are you saying that you've been involved in all of these?
Hey. You fuckers made me the jetpack.
What was that again? Paper towel dispenser?
Yeah, well, you know, you that and a good imagination, you never know what you can create. So, hey.
Whatever. Remember, idiots, I am eternal.
Him and Wu-Tang. That's the way it goes.
I guess.
You know,
all right.
You took over for Old Dirty Bastard. I don't know if you know that or not. But first, before we get into that, let's dive a little bit deeper into these videos. Not the Old Dirty Bastard conspiracy by connection, but these videos we've talked about. What is all the hubbub about? Well, earlier this year, the Pentagon, re-released 3 videos of UFOs recorded by the Navy.
Remix!
Yeah, and you've heard us talk about them, like we've told you several times. 2 are from 2015, and one of them was from back in 2004. And the videos first leaked a couple of years ago. I said they were re-released. They were leaked a couple of years ago, well before the Pentagon acknowledged them, and they reveal, well, that's kind of up for debate or talk about what they reveal. But they reveal some interesting things no matter what is actually on them. But they show objects, 2 of which look like aircraft, spinning through the sky and really spinning through the sky and moving in ways that I guess the easiest way to say is defy easy explanation, because even the at least the official report is we don't know what that is. And they seem to defy our known laws of physics. A lot of people say by the way they are moving, the speeds which they're moving, the giant changes in their altitude, things like that.
I've also heard it said, and I don't remember where I heard this, that it's not necessarily that they defy the laws of physics. Like, we can conceptualize how you might do something like that, but we don't have the know-how to build it or the materials to do it with, you
or to survive it if
correct
flesh
yeah
and blood
like all the you know all the little details that go along with that,
right. And almost as amazing is this is all playing out, this is cool. Like you said, you know, Commander Fravor, you know, you can hear the pilots really excited and confused as they're seeing this, as far as they're tracking these things, and they don't know what they're seeing. And these were not just blips. They didn't just happen. They were for extended periods, and the videos are not long, but the objects stuck around. Some of them, they said they were hanging up there for like days.
Yeah. So there's a, if you haven't watched there's 3 different videos. I'm forgetting the names of them. But there's 3 different videos. I mean, just Google it, go to the New York Times articles, whatever. They, one is like this more kind of, traditional looking, I would say, UFO. And it's the one that when we hear about rotation, it kind of looks like it's staying
moving,
in place,
yeah.
But it's rotating and turning and kind of moving back and forth in weird ways. And then the other is it looks like just a little pellet. And it's moving faster than anyone thought was possible. And, you know, the pilot is tracking it and he gets all excited when he's actually able to lock onto it.
Yeah.
Because it's moving so fast.
Yeah.
And they're very different videos, but equally interesting.
Well, and also as equally interesting or compelling or crazy about this is the U.S. government. They were released before the U.S. government acknowledged them. Then the U.S. government came back releasing themselves and said, yeah, we don't know what these are. It's true. And they seem to confirm at the very least that UFOs are real. UFOs being unidentified flying objects. The problem is, as we've stated forever, people jump to alien. Not that aliens exist, but there are unidentified flying objects whirling around above us in the sky. And the government has known about it for a long time. Like we said, one of these videos is from 2004. 16 years ago, this thing's been knocking around, this video. And the part of the video we see, you know, is just barely any of it and the least entertaining part of it. It could have stopped and flicked them off. You know, I was flipping them the bird.
Yeah.
You,
yeah. You know? That's such an interesting question. When you see these videos, are we seeing the best part, the worst part, something in between?
I mean, common sense to me says we're seeing the least telling part. The part that has been scrubbed and is okay. And, you know, the people that are talking about it have been thoroughly briefed on what they can and can't say, I would think. And there's been, though, you know, there's a lot of people like Mick West. A lot of people go to him. He's a famous debunker, and he's tried to debunk them. And those debunks have been debunked, and it's a vicious cycle. And you can go to YouTube and you can watch him break these down. And smarter people, I dare to say, than John and I are on both sides of this. And, you know, there's people that are telling him he does not understand him because they've worked with the FLIR systems. And then he's telling them, no, I'm working with other people. And it's crazy. We're not here to prove or debunk them today. But like I said, we're talking about the significance of them and what they mean for all of us and how that feeds into disclosure, because that's the thing that people are pushing for, is the disclosure of what we do or do not know. So why is it so crazy? Well, here's the government showing us something that could have been made off world. That's the big thing people say, or not by human hands in the news. And your average person hearing this does not seem to care. Just like before when they broke out, people just go about their business hearing that. Or it becomes a punchline. In the past, when people talk about aliens, they get, okay, butt probe, you know, and they get made fun of. But it has started a discussion, and that is good, because all of a sudden, like I said many times before, this was met with nothing but rolled eyes and laughter. Now, mainstream people are talking about this. They're giving it the news and at least speaking on its behalf of these things could be real or are real. We absolutely know they're real. We just don't know at this point in time. Everyday man doesn't know what they are, whether the government does or not. That's an important thing. And the New York Times published a follow-up article. Do we believe in UFOs? That's the wrong question. Now, I want to say this. The first one came out a few weeks ago, and there has been many corrections. You can go read the corrections. There's a lot of them. And they did do the follow-up to kind of get to the point.
If you go look at the corrections, the most erroneous correction that they had to make was what Harry Reid said and didn't say.
That, and I think the other, the very damning one, is the slide was misrepresented, which we'll talk about. But yeah, what was really, and the Harry Reid statement was a damning one, or a shocking one, if it was true, and turns out it wasn't really true.
I'm kind of, I'm on the opposite side that you would normally think I'd be. The corrections, to me, weren't a huge deal. Because the most interesting parts of the article to me didn't change. Whether Harry Reid said, you know, we don't know what it is or we think it's off world, doesn't change the heart of the story to me. And and also, you know, with the slide, it was acknowledged that it was used by a contractor of the Defense Department rather than the Defense Department itself. Okay. I mean, the line of distinction there is pretty blurry. To begin with.
Well, I think everything the Defense Department does is blurry, and who can be a contractor or not. That's, you know, I think it's important to distinguish if it was or not. But yeah, these are moot points. You know, they did publish this follow up. Do we believe in UFOs? That's the wrong question.
I loved this. This was my I loved this follow up.
I think that's yes, that's what I'm getting in. They said, we admire what the great anthropologist Margaret Mead said when asked long ago whether she believed in UFOs. She called it a silly question, writing in Red Book in 1974. Red Book, you get that every week, right?
I was assuming you read that in real time.
Belief has to do with matters of faith. It has nothing to do with the kind of knowledge that is based on scientific inquiry. Do people believe in the sun or the moon or the changing seasons or the chairs they're sitting on? Well, now we know some people don't, so suck it, Margaret. You haven't talked to the flat earthers like we did, but I digress.
It's almost as if you've been doing too much science.
Too much science. Is that possible?
Well, Margaret, it sure as hell is. Now, when we want to understand something strange, something previously unknown to anyone, we have to begin with an entirely different set of questions. What is it? How does it work? That's a really interesting way to look at it. Do you believe in them? No. Like, what is it? That's a weird thing. Of course I believe in it because they're there. Just like the sun and the moon. What is it? How does it work? That's the real question. That's what we should be asking. And not right. Shaming people because they know for a fact that things are up there that we don't know what they are.
That's right.
They did go on further to say, numerous associates of the Pentagon program with high security clearances and decades of involvement with official UFO investigations told us they were convinced such crashes had occurred based on their access to classified information. But the retrieved materials themselves and any data about them are completely off limits to anyone without clearances and a need to know, which... obviously, for better or worse, it makes sense. You know, why would they?
Yeah, this is another place where, again, you might assume that'd be on the other side of it. But it's like we were saying before, you can't necessarily corroborate it. But just think of it this way. If there was a rumor going around that they were designing the Blackbird back in the 50s, we could have sat here and done this podcast. It would have involved a lot more tubes and wires. But we could have sat here and done this podcast and said, well... there's no proof there. You know, we can't corroborate this story, nor do we have, this is all circumstantial evidence.
Right.
And then we'd eventually find out that it was in fact true. And they did in fact invent the Blackbird.
So, but now, we do have a buddy though, that is a lawyer, and he says circumstantial evidence wins cases. When I said that.
Yeah, it's true. Before, it's so true. Like, all right. And listen, of course that could be a blanket argument for every bullshit anecdote out there. And I'm not saying it should be or is, but it's also not an argument on the other side to dismiss everything that you don't have a photograph of.
Right. It's hard not to not believe or to make fun of things that we don't understand, but I do think it is important to look into
to debunk
as
them?
Much information as you can and make an educated decision on that and not just take things at face value. And that's a blanket statement I'm okay with on just about everything. But like I said, we did touch on this a little bit, so I'll just go a couple things. There was some problems with reporting in the New York Times articles and things like that, or the talk specifically, and you talked about with Harry Reid, the recovered crashed flying saucer parts, and the fact that there really wasn't anything too new in the article. We've told all this to our listeners, as we said, time and time again. This was not, as we reported to you, this was not the Times article that they told us in all those hush-hush groups we were going to get. It wasn't it.
Yeah, this wasn't based on the Wilson Davis papers,
right.
Essentially.
And the part that was in there that was new is Senator Marco Rubio did get it made that there will be requirements that the U.S. intelligence agencies produce a report about UFOs. That's in the budget now. There should be, though. Things like
And the other thing that was new, obviously, is the fact that this department does still exist.
Right. They had said it was, and this was just the Pentagon going, yeah, well, that's true.
We surmised it, but it was never confirmed.
Yeah, and I keep saying how people say that the Pentagon had revealed that they had retrieved materials from off-planet. That is simply not true. They state, no crash artifacts have been publicly produced for independent verification. Some retrieved objects, such as unusual metallic fragments, were later identified by laboratory studies as man-made. That is what they're telling us officially. So we can't say that they have or haven't because it's not been made official. And touching on that slide that the New York Times used in the article, it was not actually, like John said, from the Pentagon. It showed a slide that stated the Pentagon's UFO program has been using unclassified slides like this to brief government officials on threats from advanced aerospace vehicles, including off-world and materials retrieved from crashes of unidentified phenomena. That was misleading because the Black Vault, actually, John at the Black Vault, reached out to the Pentagon for a statement, and the Pentagon spokesperson Susan Gough or Gao, I'm not sure how to say her name, G-O-U-G-H, said to the Black Vault in an email statement, That slide was not used by DOD in any briefings on the subject and does not represent the department's position. The slide appears to be one used by a subcontractor who worked under the AAWSAP contract. Oh, that's a lot of letters. And briefings by the subcontractor after ATIP ended. So that's still, like you said, it's still interesting that that was a slide.
I mean, potato, potato, you know,
but it also could have just been, you know, something that they wasn't true and they got their hands on it. Anyway, the slide broke down information relating to the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, and it talked about advanced aerial vehicles, AAVs, that included those from off-world. And the slide seemed to reinforce what was, I guess, previously said by Eric Davis, and he had told the New York Times that he was giving classified briefings of off-world vehicles not made on Earth. So that was kind of a feather in his cap if it was true. But they're saying it's not true.
Well, and let's be clear. Let's cut through the film of all the words here and get to the core of the matter. The chewy nougat core of this. What they are saying is that simply we did not produce this slide, and therefore it does not represent any stance that we have publicly taken.
Yeah, but I think that's important right there, that we've publicly taken. But that
they're not
be
saying
any, that
they're
anything.
Not saying that they don't secretly believe this. They're not saying that. That they don't have materials. They're not saying any of that. And for the record, they're not saying the flip of it either. They're not saying that they do or that it does. Yeah. All they are saying is that, like, in typical government fashion, you know, it's like, I can neither confirm nor deny. All they're confirming is that they didn't make the slide. And they also did confirm that a contractor did.
Now, subcontractor, thank you very much.
A subcontractor did. Now, that subcontractor happens to have the initials of CB. Not sure what's going on.
Robot.
I know what's going on all the time.
Well, now we've gotten to the heart of the matter.
Horse's mouth, so to speak, though. What did TTSA have to say that? Because Luis Elizondo, he was the guy that supposedly worked for this and headed this up. So when Elizondo was asked about the Pentagon's denial, he was not surprised to see what he felt was not the full truth. Here's a quote. DOD is only putting out half-truths here. Susan has no clue who we briefed on what topics. And he said, I know for certain my predecessor had very pointed briefings with very senior personnel, and it likely included information similar to what was on that slide. Which is weird because he goes, I know they did, and it was probably similar, but he isn't coming out and saying that it's true. He's just saying bullshit coy way.
Which I enjoy, because what he is trying to do.
Fuck you, Susan! That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Come at me! Come at me, bro! That's the way I took it. I think what you're going to say, what we're going to find, is this is some huge, huge fucking information being dropped.
You know, this thing was so huge, it was, you know, thank you, Steve, bigger than a Walmart.
I just wanted to say huge to see if he'd pick up on it.
I was just going to let you go until you ran out of gasoline there so I could get back
in.
I
run on diesel, baby. touch my glow plug? Let's go to break.
No, let me finish my damn thought.
No one cares what you say. They're not here for you.
You know what? Yes. You know what would be really nice for our listeners? You ever hear, like, they release those vocal tracks of just Beyonce singing with none of the backing, just her vocals, just her raw vocals? It would be really nice if we released this podcast without your voice in it, and just they could just sit back and listen to my dulcet tones.
Yes, that's it. And welcome to Jungo Fourth Hour at NPR. Tonight we're talking about nectarines.
Okay, so hey,
fruit of non-passion fruit. Nectarines.
I just bought some cherry plums. They kind of look like large Rainier cherries, and they are delicious. I'm just saying.
Mount Rainier right. cherries?
Hey. I love Rainier cherries. But anyway, hey, listen, here's my point. My point is what I thought Elizondo is trying to convey here, whether it's true or not, is he's trying to give a sense of credibility. Meaning, I'm not going to tell you that slide is real. I'm not going to tell you that slide is true or that I've ever seen it. What I am going to tell you is that we had numerous slides like that running through our office presented to people much higher than old Susan here.
Right. And also, a lot of people say, of course he's going to say that because he's a disinformation agent. So
of course. It's firing all cylinders. I know they're going to say that, but my point is I thought it comes across well.
I do too. I agree with you.
To not just go, yeah, it's real. To say, listen, I don't know that slide. However, I can tell you information like that has passed through that office more than once.
Yo, I heard this dude say one time. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
At Bandcamp.
So let's go to break for real, though. And when we come back, we're going to give you our thoughts. We're going to banter. We might argue. I might sing to you again, John. We'll see. And I'm going to finally open the mail to see if Taylor Dane wrote you back. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
If you sing, I'm just not coming back.
Will you tell us in my heart?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Brent, there's been a lot of, speaking of controversy, forget this UFO stuff, there has been a lot of controversy on the new intermission music.
Yeah, so someone said, bah humbug, and then a whole bunch of other people like, no, it's fucking awesome. And it's the exact same song, I just switched it to like a different part of the song. Playing the same shit! Yeah, who knew? Who knew?
I don't like change, Brent. I'm not comfortable with change.
Who knew so many people had this much invested in T for Two Cha-Cha?
No, I will say this. We got more negative feedback about the new T for Two Cha-Cha than we did when we completely redid the opening of the show. 100 episodes ago or so. I don't know how many long ago. Right. Which is crazy.
It's literally the same shit. Yeah, just a different part.
Anyway. All right. Yeah. But we are back, and you know, we've kind of wrapped this thing up. We've told you about the videos. We've told you about, you knew about most of this. We kind of gave you our analysis
Fuck
of the articles.
They don't listen. We've learned that.
Well, that's also true. But I think what it's time now to just give our thoughts on what's happened so far in 2020 and
settle down,
Brent. I'm going to cede the floor to you and allow you to pontificate, get on a soapbox, and give us your overarching thought process.
I mean, I don't want to drone on and on and on about this because it's.
I don't want to go off on a rant here.
Who are these people? It's things that I've said a lot. It's things that I've talked about and, you know, a lot on here. The video is important. The videos came out and contrary to Mick West, a lot of people, I do believe that it is not easily explained. And I think that if it could be that easily explained, they wouldn't have released it. They would have saved face and not made it that easy. Is it disclosure? It's more disclosure than we've ever had because they are saying there are unidentified flying objects in the air and we are studying them. So as far as disclosure goes, that's a huge fucking win. And you got to give it to TTSA. You got to give it actually before TTSA. The Black Vault actually dropped this story before TTSA, but TTSA is the one who gets all the credit for it. But the Black Vault is actually the people who did it, and they don't get.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry.
But so good on them, and good on this because this is as close to disclosure as we've gotten, and it is at least in an agreement that things are out there. And there are other things like Mr. Rubio said that some of the unidentified aerial vehicles, Mr. Rubio being Marco Rubio, some of the vehicles over the U.S. bases probably exhibit technologies not in the American arsenal. That's a bold statement. He also noted maybe there's a completely sort of boring explanation for it, but we need to find out. And I think that is important. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, if there are things out there that we can't do yet or understand, we should be studying them. Period. Full stop. Space, the water, the air, the insert whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy, the stuff out there. So Marco Rubio, also, if you're not familiar, he's a Florida Republican. He's the acting chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He was primarily concerned about reports of unidentified craft over American military bases, and he talked about concerns that what if China or Russia or some other adversary had made some technological leap that allows them to conduct this sort of activity. We should be looking into it. And we should, if that's what it takes for people to take it seriously, then look at it that way. Because if you are going to put a UFO on it and people laugh at it, then say, who knows what it is? You know, fucking Trump recently got in on it. And, you know, when he told his son, Donald Trump Jr., in that June interview that he knew very interesting things about Roswell. It feels like we're getting drip fed. Now, John. So it's interesting how much it's coming up. And you got to wonder if it is on purpose, and things that are coming out are nothing that's coming out isn't planned. Or is it drip fed? Is it just disinformation? I don't know. But it feels like we are at least taking things more seriously. And my problem is, I don't know what all you can believe and not believe, and that's okay, because that's the government. You shouldn't believe everything unashamedly and just go off their word. But it's interesting, and I'm excited for what the future holds. And I would love to think that we make progress, and this is just the tip of the iceberg for 2020 and 2021 and going forward. In a nutshell.
Amen. So my thoughts... I came into doing Hysteria 51 with you, Brent, as, as we could all say, skeptical, to say the least. And I've kind of viewed my time so far on this show as almost building a court case. Like, I'm the jury, and the research I do is, like, you know, the plaintiff and the defendant. You know,
I call executioner.
And, you know, obviously, if you go back and listen to our almost 200 episodes now, I most of the time have come out on the other side of things. We one of the most common refrains from listeners in voicemails, in tweets, in emails, in smoke signals is, loosen up, John. You know, like, just have a little faith, have a little belief. There have been times where I believed in certain things, or believe that they believe. You know, that's a common thing we say on this show. But I got to tell you, there's a crack in my armor. This year specifically has been kind of a tipping point for me. And
are you diving full face into the giant fluoride filled world of conspiracy?
No. I wouldn't say that. I've always said my go to response when people ask what I believe is, I absolutely believe aliens exist, and I absolutely don't believe they've been here. That's been my go-to, and I'm not willing to say they've been here, but I'm getting much closer to thinking it's a possibility. If I was 100% sure before, I am now more like 75-25 that they have been here. There's just enough. It's just like the preponderance of evidence. Just enough stuff stacks up. And you get enough whispering from enough corners that seem reliable enough. And that's what belief is based on, right? You don't need to have facts every time. I still don't think that a vast majority of sightings and abductions are anything other than, you know, hogwash. But there's been enough. And I'll tell you one story that I keep going back to. We talk about a lot on this show. That I if my 25% is correct... I 100% believe this story to be a function of that, and that's the Bob Lazar story. There just aren't other stories out there that seem to fit so well into the narrative. It hasn't substantively changed in 30-plus years. There are nuances that have changed, but it hasn't substantively changed in 30-plus years, and it just goes along so well with the idea that we have some technology, there could have been a crash, we have different people working on different things, kind of out in the open. I mean, it's not as hidden as you would think. I've become a bit of a convert. Now, I'm not full tilt on the bandwagon, ready to say beam me up, but There's a crack in my armor. I'm starting to think that there's the possibility that they have been here. Maybe not in the audacious way that we portray in film, where, you know, they met with FDR and, you know, signed a contract, and maybe perhaps not that, but
you beautiful purple skinned bastard, get over here.
Exactly. But there is definitely a crack in my armor, and yeah, I mean, of course this could be manipulation. Of course. Not to cover up bigger UFO conspiracies. I don't believe that for a second, but
Richard Doty, please come.
Yeah, exactly. Cover up things, you know, much closer to home. Throw UFOs out over here so we don't talk about the Russians over there in like the 80s. All of that is possible, but I go back to that article you mentioned earlier, Brent, from the New York Times teams, the most recent one. It's the piece that they wrote about why they're covering UFOs. It's a great read. It's the one that had that Margaret Mead quote in it. And the last part of it leaves me a little speechless. I'm going to quote the article now. "We were provided a series of unclassified slides showing the program took this seriously enough to include it in numerous briefings. One slide says one of the program's tasks was to, quote, arrange for access to data/reports/materials from crash retrievals of AAVs or advanced aerospace vehicles. Our sources told us that AAV does not refer to vehicles made in any country, not Russian or Chinese, but is used to mean technology in the realm of the truly unexplained. They also assure us that their briefings are based on facts, not belief." That's from the New York Times.
Hell of a statement. Yeah. I think that's a perfect way to end it. We don't know. And we both go back and forth on our beliefs, but feelings, or what we think is true or not true. And I think it's a great thing because we're willing to shape it. That says a lot, you know, when someone's not so stuck in one mode where they can't change their mind. So that's good. But what do you guys think? What do you, have you read the New York Times articles? Have you listened to us talk about this stuff? Have you made up your mind or a decision, or how do you feel about this? How can they let us know, John?
Give us your thoughts. It's the most important part. Go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. It's our Facebook discussion group. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't care what you're saying in there. He truly doesn't. Just come on in and tell us what you think. Again, go to Facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation.
Yeah, also go to Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our Facebook page. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. We currently have a contest going on. It ends at the end of August. Go on there. I have a post. Anyone who's a Patreon member, $1 and above, you can put in a topic, and we're going to pick one of them and do the topic as an episode, and you'll get some goodies and things like that. So we're going to pick one that's fun and that we haven't discussed before, and that maybe I'm just lazy and we'll pick one at random. Maybe we'll pick one that we like. We'll see. I haven't decided. You know, maybe I'll look through and be like, that guy's got a cool name, or that chick's got a cool name. I'm going to pick that one. It's a, you know, a choose your own adventure for me. I like it. That's Patreon. Also, get t-shirts and posters and pins and host your own show and do all sorts of things. Also, voicemails, 773-669-7277. And again, we are going to get to them very soon. 773-669-7277. But if you forget any of this, where can they go?
Go to our website, hysteria51.com.
Or
gofopedia.com.
gofopedia.com. That's right. And tell a friend about the show. We're lacking. We need some new Apple reviews. We'd love them. 5 stars, please. If you leave us a review and send me a screenshot, I'll send you a sticker. I might send you a couple stickers. How's that sound?
Oh, gosh.
Can't beat that with a sledgehammer. I don't even know. Yeah, and if you've already left one before, go fuck yourself. Make a new account just for us.
Damn right.
Hey, go fuck yourself. Hey.
Oh, Mother Hubbard. Oh, gee whiz. Yeah. Anyway.
Hickory dickory. Okay, never mind. They'll never let me on MTV if I do that.
Yeah, that's true. You're out of here. You're out. Yeah, so that's our thoughts on once again, what's going on with UFOs, the aliens, the A-tip, the T-tip, the D-plane. The
just A-T. To see how it feels.
So with this said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.